Well, good morning, and happy New Year's Eve. You know, I was talking to Mike about what we were going to discuss, and we're still going to depart this week. This will be the last week. Next week, we'll get back into Matthew, the book of Matthew. Mike will lead us in that. But today, we're going to take a look at Proverbs, and we're going to look at receiving wise counsel. And I don't know who you go to get wise counsel, but just wanted to share with you one of the people that I go to. This is Louie, and Louie will listen carefully. In fact, when he sits down in my recliner, he's really listening carefully to everything that we have to say. And even though he gets a little tired of listening, he still will keep his eyes open and his ears up, listening carefully. So that's Louie. You know, I wrote down a list because usually people do a lot of list making around this day, around New Year's. And I made a list of questions why. Why did these things happen? I'd like to share those with you. You know, why is it so hard to ask for help? Why is it so difficult to admit that we don't know things? Why do we attempt to do things that we've never done before without seeking instruction? Why do we admit that we can't make it on our own? Why do we struggle with our own weaknesses? Why do children resist the instruction of their parents? Why do workers hate to be told what to do by their bosses? Why do we not like to ask for directions? Maybe that's more men than women, but you know, why do we work so hard to present ourselves more ready and more knowledgeable, more capable than we really are? Why do we push others away when they offer their assistance? Why do we tell people we're okay when we're really not? You know, I go through the hallways, how are you doing? Everybody says, okay. Why do we hesitate to obtain advice from doctors, from counsel, from wise friends? Why do we allow our own independence to add trouble to our own trouble? And I could tell you the answer, and maybe you don't want to hear it. Maybe it's something that you really don't want to hear at all. And the answer is sin, all of those. It's the sin of pride. I believe pride is the root of all sin. And we get so prideful and self-reliant and so caught up in ourselves that we don't need anyone else. We think that we have all the answers and that we don't need anyone else. You know, we deny God even and deny others. And we need to rely on those. And it's the sin of pride that does that. In fact, it's the sin of pride that causes us to assign ourselves much more wisdom and capability than we really have. It's our sin of pride that causes us to dethrone God and enthrone ourselves. It's that sin of pride that causes us to be deluded into thinking that we could be our own God. That happened in the garden when Adam and Eve wanted to be their own God. It's this quest for independence. And, you know, as I'm looking at these questions and obviously seeing the answers, I wanted to share with you a proverb. Proverb 23:19. The writer says, "Listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path." How do you become wise? Well, you acquire wisdom. And I know I've said this many times, but let me give you my definition of what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing the difference between right and wrong and doing that which is right. See, that's the hard part. We may know the difference between right and wrong, but doing that which is right is actually wisdom. That's what wisdom is. And wisdom can be found in the Proverbs. I love that, you know, we can study the Proverbs on a monthly basis, and I've seen many devotionals that say, hey, you know, you can read one proverb every day for a month, all year long. And this wise wisdom that Solomon gave us will become embedded. In fact, I knew this one pastor, and he told his 10-year-old son, I want you to memorize the Proverbs. Now, I don't mean a proverb. I mean the whole book of Proverbs. So every morning they would get up early, and they would work on that, and he did. He memorized the book of Proverbs because his father, who was a pastor, said, you know, this is going to provide you wisdom throughout life. So when you're perplexed and when you have these questions on why do these things happen, you can go there. In Hebrew, there's a word, chukmah. And chukmah means, you know, being able to develop a skill for living. And that's what wisdom is. That's that chukmah. So you can learn the Proverbs, you can study the Proverbs, and it will set your heart on the right path. Notice that, heart. You know, if you read in the Old Testament, you'll realize that David was called a man after God's own heart. And as long as he followed God's heart, everything was fine. But when he started controlling his own heart, that's when things went off the rails. That's the same with us. It was the same with the disciples. In fact, I can remember it was just after the upper room in the last Passover feast, sometimes called the Last Supper. You know, Jesus, you know, gave an object lesson for these people to be humble. And what do you see? They're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as soon as they leave that upper room, they're already letting their hearts control them. In fact, they're arguing over who will be greater than the other one in the coming kingdom. So the problem is a heart problem. And with our world today, I've heard this many times, just follow your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart will lead you where you want to go. They say that your heart is the moral compass, and it will guide you and give you direction. Problem is nowhere in the Bible can you find follow your heart. It never says follow your heart. In fact, in Jeremiah, the old prophet tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And Jesus in Matthew, when he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, he said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. I mean, that's not leadership qualities. Those are not the things you would find in a good leader. So consequently, we should not be following our heart. In fact, just the contrary, instead of following our heart, we should be leading our heart. Leading our heart to God. That's where the Proverbs comes in. You know, our hearts are, you know, trying to control us and trying to tell us what we need. In fact, it's, you know, just do what you want to do. Thomas Jefferson, fourth president of the United States. You can go to the Smithsonian Institute and you can take a look at Thomas Jefferson's Bible. And Thomas Jefferson let his heart control him when he was reading the Bible. And if you would look at it, it looks like Swiss cheese because he cut out all the things he didn't like. He just cut this section out. So it's just like big holes on almost every page. And that's much like us. We want to follow our hearts. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, instead of allowing God's word to help us and to give us guidance. The heart is never to be followed. In fact, it's always to be led. You know, Jesus was really proclaiming this too. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. This is my favorite verse, really. One of my favorite verses of all the scripture. This is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Notice there's a division there. You know, trust in the Lord. It didn't say trust in your heart. It said trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And what's going to happen? You're going to have the ability to understand things. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's the outcome? And he will make your path straight. It's what we have to do. You know, on the division, really, there's a dichotomy here. Pride on one side, you know, doing what you want to do, when you wanted to do it, and telling people, hey, I've got this. I'm okay. And on the other side is humility. And humility, I've heard some theologians say humility is the knowledge that you do not know everything. So you've got this dichotomy, pride and humility. And where do you stand? We all kind of tend to drift more towards the prideful side, the sinful side. As I mentioned, my opinion, I think pride is the root of all sin. It can always be traced back to that. So we have to make sure that we understand that we are to lead our hearts towards God, to control, you know, our hearts by getting more of the Word. You know, on every one of the resource desks out here, the welcome desks, and even our resource center all year long, right back here in the atrium, will provide you with a guide to understand God's Word a little bit better, to be able to read the Word. And I don't know whether you really thought about that. Have you ever read all the way through the Bible and sat and think about it and let it speak to you? Well, you can read the Bible in a year. This year, maybe you're going to dedicate that, you know, starting tomorrow, I'm going to start reading God's Word. A Scottish pastor by the name of Robert Machane came up with a reading plan where you can read all the way through the Bible, maybe just 20 minutes a day, getting into the Bible. And he strategically points you in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's two readings in the Old Testament, two readings in the New Testament. And in 1 year, you can read all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament, and all the way through the New Testament twice, and Psalms twice in 1 year. But maybe you don't have 20 minutes. Maybe you just want to take a little bit more time and let that Word process. So we have a 2-year plan. So there's a 1-year plan, a 2-year plan. You can go to any of the welcome desks today and get a copy of that, Machane's strategic method of reading God's Word. And you can do that, or you can go to the Resource Center and you can actually find cards that will actually place where you should be and what you should be reading each and every day. But if you don't trust in the Lord and allow him to control your heart, you're going to be dealing with fear and anxiety and doubt and anger, maybe anger with each other, but also you could be angry with God for what's transpiring. Pastor Brett talked about, you know, the past year, 2023. Did it go the way you wanted it to go? You know, were there any hard times? And what's going to get you through? And it's trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your understanding. Jesus tells his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You know, this is where we need to be. We need to seek guidance, okay? We need to seek counsel. And that's the premise of what I want to share with you. Counsel means advice. Counsel means guidance, a guidance system. You know, every rocket, every plane, every ship has a guidance system. So what's your guidance system? What's guiding your heart? What's guiding your thoughts? And that's what we want to talk about today, you know. In Proverbs 19, it says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So you can't do this all on your own. You need to go seek advice. You need to seek counsel. Need to seek this. It says many plans in the mind of men, but it's purpose of the Lord that will stand. And I like how this same passage is translated in the New Living Translation, and it's just a short right piece of that. Get all the advice and the instruction or guidance that you can, and you will be wise for the rest of your life. You need to seek wise counsel. So maybe this year, starting in 2024, and that's hard to think about, 2024. Every time you write it down, you're going to be thinking, you know, 2023. 2024, seek wise counsel. Start in the God's Word, and then seek out people that will give you wise counsel. Key is wise counsel, not just guidance. A lot of times we like to associate with people that will tell us what we want to hear. You know, you're in an echo chamber and they echo back your thoughts instead of giving you wise counsel. And this is really, really important. We need to sharpen each other, not just listen to the noise in everyday life, not listen to the world. You know, it tells us again in Proverbs, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is going to listen to advice, going to listen to counsel, going to listen to guidance. Where are you getting your guidance? Is it in that echo chamber of people telling you what you want to hear? It goes back to those questions, you know, those why questions that I started out at the very beginning. Why do we do certain things? Why do certain things happen? It's because we're listening to ourselves and we're not seeking wise counsel in God's Word and with wise friends. You know, the seeking of wise counsel is really, really important to get this. In fact, let me go to Ecclesiastes. This is a verse that I use a lot of times in weddings and in giving counsel to people that are just about getting married. But I think that we can also understand this a little bit better when we realize that we can't be on our own. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward on their toil. You're going to do twice. In fact, it's exponential. You get more than twice for the toil. For if one falls, the other will lift up the other fellow. But woe to him who falls and doesn't have another to lift him up. That is so important. And then it ends, you know, the cord of three strands is not easily broken. It is so important to get that listening ear, that wise counsel. Counsel and discipleship happens in circles, not in rows. Now, I'm not diminishing what we're doing here. I'm not diminishing what we do every Sunday, listening to a sermon. But wise counsel and discipleship comes in circles, in smaller groups. In fact, if you look at Jesus and how he led other people, he got a lot of his information because he was Jewish. He looked at the Jewish rabbis, and they have a term, it's called yeshiva. Yeshiva is a rabbinical seminary, is a seminary for training for rabbis. And if you were to go into the door of any yeshiva today, you would find, you know, a havram. A havram comes from the term haver, which is friend. You would find groups of individuals, groups of students, usually twos, maybe threes, of people that are getting into the Word. Let me read to you what some of the early rabbis said. It says, when two sit together and exchange words of the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, when two sit together and exchange the words of the Torah, the divine presence dwells among them. Now, I don't know whether you've ever thought about that, but you ever heard what Jesus said? Jesus, in Matthew 18, verse 20, says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Sounds to me like he's talking about that haverim, where you get two or three people together. That's where true discipleship, that's where true learning, that's where true wise counsel comes from. How can you get wise counsel in a big room like this? You need to have a smaller group of people that will speak into your life. It's that smaller group interaction, interacting with the Word. So you study the Word and you hear what they have to say. Instead of asking, and I've often thought about this, instead of asking someone, you know, how are you doing today? Sometimes it might be better to say, hey, help me understand where you're at and how you're feeling. Help me understand the way you see this scripture. You get to have that sharpening of one on another, which is, again, part of the Old Testament, the Psalms. To get a haver, a friend in your life. I've often told people this. In fact, I've often told many men that you need to have, I call them a guardrail in your life. Somebody that will hold you when you're getting close to the edge. Somebody that will hold you accountable. Hold you to your word. That will be there to encourage you. A guardrail, a friend that is loyal, that is always there, that will always be there for you. I think all men, all women need to have a guardrail or two in your lives. And that's why I think this discipling, you know, needs to happen. This counsel needs to happen. George Barna, and I don't know whether you've ever heard of George Barna. He's a researcher. He's a pastoral researcher where he gets into statistics. He says this, listen to this, that only 15% of folks in the church have ever been discipled by somebody. 15%. He said 6 out of 10 people do not have a sense of what they want to achieve or what they want to become. Whoa. Those are scary statistics. When you start thinking about that, that's what really urged me to think about seeking wise counsel and sharing with you on this, the impending first day of 2024. Find wise counsel. Find a wise friend. Find a guardrail or two in your lives. Who are you pouring into and who can help pour into you? You know, I think that a lot of people want to follow Christ, but they're not willing to pay the price. You know, they want all of the benefits, but they don't want the obligation of what are you supposed to do. You're supposed to disciple. Take a look at the Great Commission. You know, disciple other people. Continually doing that. It's not a one-and-done type of thing. It's doing it on a daily basis. Who are you pouring into on a daily basis? Starting with your own family. I think the good news of the gospel is important. And listening to the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd says, follow me. He will lead you. He will direct you. And he will give you guidance that you need. And that's what we're seeking, is guidance. Because just as a rudder guides a ship, we need Jesus Christ in our lives, particularly this year, to help guide us so that we can traverse whatever happens in 2024. And not to fear. I love that. In fact, I don't know whether you watched Charlie Brown Christmas. You know, Charlie Brown Christmas is a great show. And the cartoonist that wrote that, Charles Schulz, he created this. He was a believer in Christ. And you know, at the end of the whole video there where Linus is on stage, and he's really quoting Luke 2, starting in verse 10. Linus is the one that's always carrying that security blanket around. Right? You never see him drop the security blanket until he's quoting scripture in Luke 2:10. And it's when the angel comes to the shepherds and says, fear not. And as soon as he says, fear not, it's the only time he ever drops his security blanket. And I think that there's a moral here. He drops that security. He doesn't need that security because he has the security of Jesus Christ. Where are you? Do you have that security in your life? Do you have that guidance in your life in 2024? Will he lead you and direct you? Will you listen to him, or are you going to listen to what your heart says? Your heart will lead you if you let it, and it's not a good thing.